Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, interesting subject today in the book of Luke. We're going to talk about taxes.
Hey, it's that season.
It's that season of the year. Everybody loves taxes. What do they say? There's only two things that are absolutely true, death and taxes.
Death and taxes. But, you know, tax or death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets.
That's the truth. They say they're going to try to cut our taxes. I certainly hope they do. But here, Jesus runs in it. There's nothing new under the sun when we come to life. life. And here we find that there are people who are even collecting taxes back then. They called them taxes. They were all kinds of things, but taxes are just part of life.
You go into town, you come out of town, you got to pay the toll, you got to do
this,
you
got to
do that.
You go.
And so there was always a table with somebody, you know, with a handout. There were people, you know, looking for alms for the poor. There were tax collectors. It always seems like somebody wants to put a hand in your pocket and pull out a coin.
That's it. So Jesus in chapter 19 entered Jericho. So he's coming into Jericho and was passing through. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Now, there's two things that don't go along. If you're collecting taxes, but you look like, oh, that poor man, he's got a job, but he's not making any money.
Yeah.
But when you're collecting taxes and you're wealthy, something's going in one hand and the other pocket.
There's a little bit of an issue happening there.
There's something happening. And the Jewish people didn't like tax collectors.
Yeah.
Basically, because the Romans picked people who were Jewish.
Yep.
So, you know, otherwise they'd be hurt as a Roman, and they're collecting taxes for the Romans. And I imagine they are allowed to keep a percentage.
Yeah.
And so there were a couple of weights, I guess. I understand the tax collector had two sets of weights. One he could use that if he was being tested, they were right.
And
then he had another one that was a little bit off where he'd make a little more money.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really tough. And Jesus is passing from one place. And the reason for this is actually there were different rulers in different parts of the Holy Land. You had Herod the Great, and Herod Antipas, and you had Pilate that collected taxes. You had different areas, and so everybody collected taxes as you went through. And this was a very prosperous route from Egypt all the way up through around through Asia and through Europe. This was a very prosperous trade route, and so there were people collecting taxes.
You know, and it's not fun to, you go out there and you get a day's wage for a day's work.
Right.
And then somebody's got to take a portion of it. You barely have enough to live on anyways. And then here comes one of your fellow Jewish men, and he's like, okay, you got to give me 50% of that or whatever portion it was. And so here you go. And they did not like the tax collectors. They just had, they left a really bad taste in their mouth. And so here Jesus comes upon one.
Yeah. And it is what really started the revolution in America.
Yeah.
Taxation without representation, and the tax keep the teetotalers, whatever they were.
Yep.
They threw the tea in the ocean from the British and caused a huge problem.
Yeah.
So taxes have always been a problem.
Always.
So Zacchaeus, a man named Zacchaeus was there. He was a chief tax collector. So he's a head guy.
Yep.
And he's wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus. That's pretty interesting.
It is interesting.
He's a rich man, but he wants to see Jesus. So he must have heard a lot about him being a tax collector.
You know, there was obviously the years of Jesus' fame, you know, had been growing and word about him had spread. And so here's this guy, Zacchaeus. He says, you know, I want to see what all the hubbub is about this guy named Jesus. And so there's something within him. And I told my Sunday school class on Sunday, sometimes you use the name of Jesus and people just raise their hands and say, I don't want to hear about you. And then you talk about Jesus to other people, and they're receptive. They want to hear more.
It's interesting to me because in this passage, the tax collector was not very well liked. We knew that, though people don't like the tax collectors, and yet he wants to see Jesus. So there's some kind of an affinity already.
Yeah.
People don't like him. Maybe he's looking for a friend. Maybe he thought Jesus would be a righteous man.
Could be.
Whatever, but he's looking. He wants to see Jesus. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Now, he had to be pretty short.
He had to be pretty short, yeah.
Maybe 4'11", something like
could,
that. Really short little guy.
Yeah.
So he wanted to see Jesus. And that's pretty amazing. He wanted to see Jesus. Obviously, he probably could hear him coming, but he wanted to see him. But he couldn't see him. The crowd was too large. So he ran ahead. In other words, Jesus has probably already passed him by. He ran around the crowd, looked for a sycamore tree, climbed up in the tree, and saw Jesus coming. And so he was shrewd.
He knew what he was
doing. He was shrewd. I mean, he's not a guy who says, I want to do something. Forget about it. It's too hard to do.
Right.
There's a lot of people like that.
There definitely are. He went for it. He said, I've got to be able to see this. So there was something within him that was crying out to put his eyes on this guy. He wanted to see what was so different about this man. Why were all these people, you know, following this guy? And so he climbs a tree.
Amazing.
I don't think a lot of people did that in those. Maybe they did to pull the figs off the trees. Maybe that this isn't such a unique thing. Somehow you got to get the fruit off the tree. So maybe it's a tree that's easily climbable. So maybe he picked that one so he could get up there, get above the crowd.
That's
kind of like being at the parade. You got to get above the crowd and be able to look at Jesus.
But he didn't let an obstacle stop him. That's what's amazing to me, because crowds sometimes, if you've got a big crowd, if I'm going into a restaurant and I see a big crowd, I'll turn around and go to another restaurant.
I'm going.
I'm gone. I'm out. Yeah. I'm not going to wait. wait in line.
No.
And so the crowd did not deter him. And so that, to me, that shows there is something within his heart that he really has this hunger, this desire, because it says he ran ahead of Jesus. He ran to the next place he could. So he's out of breath, climbing a tree, because he really wants to see Jesus. Now, that tells me something about this desire that we really need. If you want to find him, you can find him.
You know, Jesus is Jesus was here at this present day. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, but he is still saying those words, come follow me. He's still, like he did for his first disciples, and that call is still ringing out today. And he's looking for people who are looking for him. He's looking for him. So we need to be like Zacchaeus and turn our attention toward Jesus.
Now, here's a next verse. I mean, it just blows me away, whether it's a supernatural insight from Jesus's part or whether he saw little Zacchaeus behind the crowd running, whatever it was. The next thing it says here is that Jesus himself, he reached the spot. When Jesus reached the spot where he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, he says, come on down.
Come on down. He knew him by name. You know, he calls him by name.
Come down.
He gets to the tree. Jesus gets to the tree. The branch maybe over, you know, the road or whatever, and Jesus stops.
He might have known him.
And he looked up. He might have known him. He may not have, but he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, calls him by name.
Yeah, come down immediately. I'm staying at your house today.
Wow. Invite yourself over. Come on, Jesus.
I have to believe Jesus passed by this place many times. Sure. And because he had an intellect that was amazing, I would imagine he knew everybody. Once he got their name, he's not like me. Perhaps I see somebody and I might remember the name, I might not. He probably remembered their name.
Yeah.
So he knew him well enough. They probably stopped, paid taxes there before. So he says, come on down. I got to stay at your house. I've seen how you were running. You really were hungry to see me. You wanted to touch base with me. So I'll tell you what, since you're hungry, you're that hungry, you took this first step to run, I'm going to come over to your house. Can you imagine that? How many people did Jesus say, I'm coming to your house?
Yeah, I'm going to go to you.
That's amazing. Yeah. And these people hate the tax collector.
Oh, yeah.
And so here's this famous rabbi, if you will, powerful healing person, and he knows you by name, and he says, I'm coming to your house.
Yeah. See, the Pharisees, we heard them talk about, you know, the Pharisees told his disciples, hey, your leader hangs around with sinners and tax collectors. But actually, I think they tax collectors and sinners. So, you know, tax collectors are worse. There's sinners, and then there's tax collectors. So they're all heaped into this same pool, this cesspool, if it were. And the Pharisees that are in the crowd, because they were always Pharisees hanging around, always these religious elite that were hanging around, and they're just going, this guy. No, don't go to his house.
Right,
guy, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, the IRS probably is not well-liked at certain times like that, too. But here, instead of the IRS say, you've got to come to audit it in my place, this is time Jesus is paying the taxes, says, you come to my place, we're going to have a relationship.
Exactly.
Totally different.
Yeah.
And amazing. So the Bible says he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly.
Wow.
Now that tells me a lot about this fella who didn't let a crowd stop him, who ran, worked hard to get in front of the crowd so that he could see Jesus, climbed the tree, like you said. He's short anyway, but he made it up the tree. And then he's recognized by Jesus, calls him by name and says, I'm coming. And he's so thrilled that Jesus is coming to his house. I have to admit, that's really quite commendable for this tax collector, because most tax collector, they want to line their pockets. They weren't interested in some kind of righteousness. They were interested in tax collecting. That was their key, to collect money. It says he was wealthy.
Yeah.
But he's got another motive at work now in his life.
Something has happened. I'm telling you, when you start talking about Jesus and when the word of Jesus gets out and when you hear about people getting raised from the dead, Lazarus getting raised from the dead and the widow's son being raised from the dead and lepers being healed and blind eyes being opened from birth and all of this stuff, when you start talking about that, and especially around this time when Jesus was alive and walking, I'm sure there was something stirring in their hearts, and Zacchaeus had heard about it, and then he heard that Jesus was passing by where he was collecting taxes. He's got to see him. He's got to see him.
And it's an amazing thing. He welcomed him gladly.
Yeah.
Now, most people would probably say, oh, he's very famous. Okay, I better invite him in. I better not invite him in. And just, it's protocol.
Right.
He asked me, I got to invite him in. Nobody says, gladly. Yeah. I like that word. Yeah. He had this joy in his heart that Jesus was actually going to take time and spend it with him, that he loved him enough that he would care for him.
Yep.
And then all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner.
Oh, man. We know what this guy does. We know that
he's taking me over a ride.
You know, he laces his pockets with extra funds. He's using the false weights. He's a tax collector. Jesus, if you're really God and you're really a prophet,
you know this.
You know this. Stop.
You
know,
you not only would know it, you would not go to his house and sanctify what he's doing.
Right.
It's pretty amazing to me. It's one of the great stories in the Bible when you see this little man, Zacchaeus, with such a drive and a hunger to see Jesus. And it comes to fruition because Jesus recognizes the hunger. He sees the hunger in this man's heart, and he says, come, I'm going to eat at your house. And I would imagine that when you eat at someone's house like that, and when he's inviting himself, I don't even know if that's proper protocol. But when you have someone in your home for dinner, that's a signification that there's something between the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a
something that's there.
There's a connection. There's a bond.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that even though the people were muttering that he's gone to be the guest of a sinner, you know, I think about Paul's writing over in Romans where God shows us the full extent of his love in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we're in this Easter week, and you know, Jesus hanging on the cross. Jesus died for sinners. He didn't die for good people. And He saw that in Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus was a sinner, and each and every one of us are sinners, and we all need a Savior. But he stopped to go into the house of the sinner, and that's Jesus.
That's Jesus.
That's who he hangs around with.
But another amazing part, because the story doesn't end here, the story goes on into something that is very, very deep in people's hearts, because the Bible says that when Zacchaeus stood up, he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount.
Wow.
Can you imagine if somebody in church stood up and said, I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. I'm going to give half of everything. Yeah. If I cheated anybody, I'm going to pay it back four times. Now, I know within our congregation, we have people that have cheated people out of money.
Oh, yeah.
They've cheated out of money. They haven't paid what they said they were going to pay.
Yep.
And the people in our congregation says, I've left that in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
And they've left it in the Lord's hands. But here, it comes out. Why? I think because Zacchaeus recognizes that he is being affirmed. He is being accepted by God Almighty. That Jesus is doing something in his life at that moment, recognizing him, coming to eat with him, to fellowship with him, and that changes his whole perspective about eternity and about life.
When Jesus comes into the situation, when Jesus comes into relationship with you, your heart changes, your outlook on life changes, and everything changes. And that's the key, is when you come to Jesus and Jesus comes in, there's a change that happens, and people can see it. Here, Zacchaeus stood up and says, here's the changes that I'm making. I'm no longer going to be focused on materialism and the wealth of this world. I'm going to give half my possessions to people who need it. You know, I've been storing it up for myself. So I'm going to give half of it away to the poor. And I'm sure he kept copious records of all the taxes because the Romans came and wanted to make sure he, you know, so he had the records and he knew who he cheated.
Hmm.
He had it all written down. He had the books. And he says, you know what? I'm going to pay back four times the amount that I cheated them out of. I am going to bless them because, Jesus, you've blessed me.
So he's gone beyond the tithe. He's gone beyond the 10%. He's gone to give half of everything he owns to the poor. That's huge.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what would happen if in Bethany Assembly of God on a Sunday, people stood up and said, we're going to give half of everything we have to the church, to bless the church, to bless the poor. And then if we've cheated anybody, we're going to pay them back four times.
Yeah.
I mean, the church would never have to worry about finances in any shape or way when Jesus is in control. Because, and Jesus goes on. He says, today, what happens when he did this? What happens when he gave? Man. What happened to Zacchaeus when he actually made this decision to follow Jesus and then to become sacrificial in his giving? Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It's awesome.
What a growth of spiritual growth right away. Salvation comes in a moment just from this heart of giving.
Yep. You know, he recognized him. He wanted to see Jesus. He knew that Jesus was coming that way. So he climbed up in the tree to see Jesus.
Yep.
He sits and he has a meal with him. And instead of calling him Jesus, he says, look, Lord, he's now just affirmed, you know, given his life to him and say, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow. You are Lord. And he recognizes that he's the Messiah. He is the one that was to come. And he surrenders completely to him. And Jesus said, today, you've recognized that salvation is here. God has come in a very special way. And you will be blessed because of that. Yeah.
I mean, I think most people in America would even recognize when Jesus said, say, salvation has come to your house. Yeah. But what about when he says, because this man is also a son of Abraham.
Yeah.
So most of us would pass that by. We wouldn't understand what Jesus is talking about, because Abraham is the first man of faith. Everything he did, he's called the father of faith.
Yeah.
He's the first man of faith. So salvation comes from faith.
That's it.
Faith in what you believe Christ has done for you. So the son of Abraham is a special title, because the people recognize that the Jewish people came from Abraham. He was the father of their faith.
Yeah.
And so it's so key. He was the very cornerstone of the Jewish religion. And Abraham, here he comes. Now, this man is a son of Abraham. In other words, he is living by faith. Mm-hmm. Look what he says he's going to do. So that's truly where we come from, when we have this life of faith in our hearts, when we say we're going to follow Jesus. Because what did Jesus come to do? Seek and to save that which was lost.
Yeah, verse number 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus was lost. And I are lost.
Yes.
We're lost without Jesus as Lord of our life, and we need him to come in, and we need salvation to come into our house today.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you consider when Jesus said, you can only serve one master. You'll either serve God or you'll serve money. You'll serve God or mammon, he calls it. And so here, when Zacchaeus makes the decision that he's going to follow God, follow Jesus, do things his way rather than just living for money, then all of a sudden he becomes a father. He becomes one of the fathers of faith himself. Yeah, he becomes the son of Abraham.
That is such a beautiful picture of how Jesus can come in and transform a life, take it from one who was a sinner. I mean, by all rights, we know he was a sinner.
Right.
The people affirm that. He affirmed it. He said, listen, I've cheated people.
Right.
I haven't done right all my life. And he says, I've been greedy. I've broken the Ten Commandments. He says, here's what I'm going to do. Not to earn his salvation.
No.
But, you know, his recognition of Jesus, but to express it and to worship the Lord for what he's done, he says, I am going to do this. And it's a beautiful portrait of what
Jesus
does. It
is a picture. And at Easter time, you're going to be asked on television, you're going to be asked everywhere to give, to give, to give, to give. Everybody asks you to give. Christmas is the same way. But there's something about giving to the church that the Lord has chosen to be the redemption arm to this world today.
Yeah.
To seek and to save the lost is the job for the church. So this Easter, give a great offering.
Amen.
Bring a great offering into the Lord. Watch what God does in your life. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you.